in this kingdom, the treasures of the kingdom are accessible by the key of knowledge.
Vision is a necessity for human survival. You are a deliberate creature of a God in heaven, and you were sent from the realm of eternity into the earth realm in order to fulfill a divine purpose. You are here on a mission.
Jesus died, resurrected to restore us back to the glory realm. Christianity is a call unto the glory life. Christianity is a call unto a life of glory and dominion. You have to be transformed into that version of you that is needed to fulfill your destiny. Through the process of spiritual metamorphosis, mental metamorphosis, the assignment is at the mercy of your personal growth and transformation.
You might be seated. Colossians 4 verse 12. Thank you, Lord. Epaphras, who is one of you, is not from another planet. Epaphras, who is what? One of you, a servant of Christ, saluted you, always laboring fervently. Always laboring. It doesn't go on break. Always laboring fervently for you in prayers. Always Epaphras was fully employed. And what was his job description? To pray and intercede for the church at Colossae. Always, not sometimes, not most times. It doesn't go on breaks, it doesn't go on holidays, it doesn't go on vacation. Always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect, that ye may stand perfect. Without his partnership of prayer, without his labors, without Epaphras laboring in prayers and intercession, the church in Colossae will not stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. So this is serious business. Praise God. This is serious business. I was telling you the other day, I said when Kenneth Copeland started ministry, now what we call Kenneth Copeland ministry today, mighty general, a father of the faith. When you talk of faith and prosperity on planet Earth today, in the kingdom, you mention Copeland. He's a frontline father in that realm. When he started his ministry, the first staff he ever employed was somebody that would be praying and interceding for the ministry to succeed and fulfill their divine vision. When Joyce Meyer started her own ministry, she employed a number of staff whose job is just to pray and intercede for Joyce Meyer ministry to fulfill the vision God has given her and for it to be global and transgenerational in impact, in influence, in relevance. And today, no wonder you see Joyce Meyer's ministry making waves, because a lot of investment in prayer, in intercession, have gone into the work. In building any great work, you must be ready and willing to invest so much in prayer. You must invest so much in prayer. So those people, they are on salary. They work from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. every day. What is their job? Shalabakato sabrakata. Father Joyce, may your ministry will go global. Joyce, may your ministry will fulfill all our vision. They were groaning and praying and interceding. That was their job. Just like civil servants go to work in the morning and close in the evening. These people are employed to pray. Are you listening? There are a lot of great men of God we celebrate today. Some of you don't know the kind of prayer investment that have gone into their destiny, and the ones that are still going into their destiny. Some of them have people that are interceding for them all across the world. People whose job, some of them they placed on salary, they pay them to do that. Some of them they do it of their own free will. Your destiny can never be greater than your prayer life. Are you listening? Very important. Very important. Talebo sabalataya. Imbo rasiba lakida prantas kapata. Ekondo vratila kapatenas. Epaphras, who is one of you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers. That word is a laboring. I'm interested in it. I'll come back to it. But I want you to notice that there is a labor dimension to prayer. Did you hear what I just said? There is a labor dimension to prayer. It's not every time that prayer is, you know, you are just having that sweet feeling, goosebump, just enjoying fellowship, sweet fellowship with the Holy Spirit. There is the dimension of prayer that involves labor. Did you hear what I just said? Beyond feelings, beyond sweet feelings, there is a labor dimension to prayer. But the good news, the good thing about this labor is that you don't do the labor in your own power alone. You don't labor depending on your human strength or human power or ability. You take advantage of the grace for prayer to do the laboring. Are you seeing that? So God gives you the prayer grace, and then you make demand on that grace to do the labor. So you draw from that grace to labor in prayer. Are you getting me? So you are not relying on your human might, human energy, human strength. Rather, you are tapping, you are drawing from His boundless might. You are taking advantage of that prayer grace that has been made available. Am I communicating? For sure, there is a labor dimension of prayer. But like I'm trying to explain, you take advantage of the grace for prayer, the grace of God that has been made available in order to pray without ceasing. Am I communicating? Look at what Paul said, 1 Corinthians 15 verse 10. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 10. Because I will be talking about that labor dimension of prayer. He said, by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly. You see that? I labored, in other words, Paul is saying, I take advantage of that grace of God and I use that grace to labor. It is the grace of God that is energizing me to labor. It is the grace of God that I'm using to do the labor. Are you getting me? I'm being energized, I'm being strengthened, I'm being empowered by that grace to labor. So I'm not relying, I'm not using my own natural human strength. He says, His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labor more abundantly than they all. He labored more than Peter, more than John, more than James, more than everyone else. Yet, is it not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Now, look at that labor there as laboring in prayer. And look at that grace there as a grace for prayer. So you too should take advantage of the prayer grace to do what? The job of laboring in prayer. In order to labor in prayer. If you understand what I'm teaching, you will learn to pray for hours upon hours without feeling tired, because you are not using your physical strength, you are drawing from that boundless might. Colossians 1:29, he said, I strive according to his working. I strive according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. You see that? Give me an amplified. Whereunto I also labor, striving. Oh, thank you, Jesus. For this I labor unto weariness, striving with all the superhuman energy. Praise God. Superhuman energy. That's supernatural energy. Superhuman is supernatural, right? He said, striving with all the superhuman energy. That's the anointing. He's actually talking about the anointing, the power of God, which is so mightily enkindles and work within me. That superhuman energy comes from the grace of God. Am I communicating? It comes from God's grace. It's the grace of God that supplies that anointing, that supernatural energy, supernatural strength, that you can then utilize to labor. Are you listening? So you don't labor in your own power. If you come to Festival of Fire and you are praying with only your energy, you will soon gas out. You get tired. You get tired. But when you have this understanding and you are conscious of this mighty supply of the grace of God, of the spirit of prayer here, you then connect to it. You now draw from it. You tap from it. That economy of grace. Am I communicating? You take advantage. You place a demand. And then you now use that grace to do the labor. Are you getting me? Very important. Now go back to Colossians 4:12. Shelly Gobo Sambalataya. He said Epaphras. Epaphras was not even the pastor of the church. He who is one of you, a member like any other person, a servant of Christ, saluted you, always laboring. I like that word, always laboring. Now, the word laboring there is a Greek word agonizomai, and that's what I'm talking about. Title this message agonizomai. I'll spell it agonizomai. Laboring. It says Epaphras, who is one of you, saluted you, a servant of Christ saluted you. Always laboring fervently for you in prayers. Prayer is labor. There is a labor dimension to prayer. Now, the Greek word laboring, that word laboring in the Greek is agonizomai. This should be O. Agonizomai. From where they get the English word agony. Am I communicating? Agonizomai. So, the title of this message is agonizomai. Laboring in prayer. Now, let's look at some of the synonym of that word agonizomai. Number one. That word agonizomai means to contend with adversaries. To contend with adversaries. So it's like a contention. To contend with adversaries. Comma. Agonizomai also means to struggle. To struggle. To compete for a prize. To compete for a prize. I say it means to contend with adversaries or with an adversary. It also means to struggle. It also means to compete for a prize. That word also means to fight. Agonizomai also means to fight, like to wrestle. Have you watched wrestling before? Two people fighting in a wrestling match is something like that. Are you getting me? To fight, to wrestle. That word also means to strive. To strive, as in S-T-R-I-V-E. Give me Colossians 1:29. We read it earlier. Colossians 1:29. Agonizomai. Colossians 1:29. Watch this. Whereunto I labor, striving. The Greek word striving there is agonizomai. So it also means to strive. Praise God. Next, agonizomai also means to endeavor with strenuous zeal and effort. To endeavor with strenuous zeal and effort. Praise God. To endeavor to accomplish something. To labor fervently. Thank you, Father. Whereunto I also labor. Striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Go back to that Colossians 4 verse 12. Colossians 4 verse 12. Give me an amplified. Give me amplified version. Is it Epaphras? Who is one of you? Okay, amplified please. Amplified. So as you can see, agonizomai has to do with laboring in prayer, fighting in prayer, wrestling in prayer, contending with the enemy in prayer. Are you listening? It's a struggle. It's a wrestling. That was what Paul meant when he said in Ephesians 6 verse 12. Don't go there. He said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That wrestling kind of prayer is agonizomai. Am I communicating? You strive for something. You compete. You enter into a contest. You see, in the Greek, the background of this word is like two people in a contest during Olympic Games. Like in a gymnasium. You know gymnasium? Where they do gymnastics. Like two people contending for a prize. To contend with an opponent. Are you getting me? In a game. A gymnastic game, etc. Okay, Colossians 4:12, amplified. He said, Epaphras, who is one of yourself, a servant of Christ Jesus, he said, sends you greetings. He is always striving for you earnestly in his prayers. Always striving for you earnestly. There must be element of seriousness, element of earnestness. You can't be casual when you are praying this kind of prayer. This is not the kind of prayer you pray and you are sipping tea. Say, ah, just weather cold. Rather than pray and generate firepower that will solve the cold problem, you are sipping tea. And then you say you are praying. This is not the kind of prayer you are praying, you are with your phone browsing. Eh? You are chatting. You got. You understand? This is not the kind of prayer that I'm talking about. We are talking of the kind of prayer that your spirit, soul, and body is involved. Everything. Eh? Apostle Babalola was praying like that on a mountain, and a mighty snake, a python, came and climbed, as in he was lying like this. The python came and climbed his body like this to pass mistakenly. It's like touching high tension cable. He was praying and generating firepower. The firepower he generated fried the python. The python was roasted, died on his body, and he didn't know. He was not aware, because he was lost in the spirit. He was lost in that realm. You see, when you are praying this kind of prayer, and you really enter, you will become unaware of what is happening in the physical. Even the person knocking your door, you cannot hear. You are lost in the spirit. You are lost in the spirit. You are not conscious of who is looking at you, who is not looking at you. You are not conscious of your environment, because you are lost there in the spirit. That was what happened to him. It was long hours later, after he had finished praying, he wanted to get up. He felt something heavy on him. What was this? When he now turned and saw, it was python. It has fried. Firepower fried it. Praise God. So it's not the type you are praying, you are eating amala and pounded yam and egusi soup. Praise God. There is time to pray. There is time to fast. There is time to eat. There is time not to eat. Because July will soon go on our mid-year 14 days prayer and fasting exercise. You understand? If I were you, I would plan to fully partake of it. There is time to pray. There is time to fast. There is time to eat. There is time not to eat. Don't eat away your future and your destiny. Am I communicating? Don't allow your belly to be your God. Okay? You should have self-control in that area. I think, when are we even fasting? Is it 3rd? 3rd July to what? 16 July. 14 days. We'll be meeting every day. Every day. We'll pray together. Break the fast. Go back. Pray together. Break the fast. It will cover for the second half of the year. Am I communicating? We are going to shape a lot of things and bet a lot of things. He said, Epaphras, who is one of yourself, a servant of Christ, sends you greeting, is always striving for you earnestly in his prayers, pleading that you may, as persons of ripe character and clear conviction, stand firm and mature in his spiritual growth, convinced and fully assured in everything willed by God. Give me a message translation. Agonizomai. Epaphras, who is one of you, says hello. What a trooper he has been. Do you know who a trooper is? Do you know who a trooper is? My brother is a trooper. It was from him I knew the meaning of trooper. He's a military man. There is this, artillery? There is this unit of the military that they call them troopers. Those that jump from helicopters, jump from plane with parachute or without parachute. He went for one training like that. He was the best jumper from helicopter. So they gave him award. They called them trooper. Now he says, what a trooper he has been. He has been tireless. Somebody say tireless. In his prayers for you. Praying that you will stand firm and mature and confident in everything. You see, agonizomai is a tireless kind of prayer. I've said it over and over again. You don't pray until you are tired and then you stop. Mm-mm. You don't stop praying because you are tired. No. You pray until you prevail in the spirit and get the note of victory. If you have not yet prevailed, just know that the transaction is not yet completed. You'll be a fool to stop. When you want to transfer money using all those code, or you want to transfer something, and then they say, put this code, you put name of the bank, you choose, put your PIN, you put, and then you now aborted the process halfway before the thing was completed. Will the money go through? It's the same thing that happens when you stop praying before you get the note of victory. The moment you abort the process prematurely, just know that there will be no answer, because the transaction was not successful. The spiritual transaction didn't go through. Don't pray and stop praying because you are tired. Persevere in prayer until you prevail in the spirit and get the note of victory. That is when the transaction has been completed and it is successful. Pray until the spiritual transaction is completed and it is successful. And you will know when you get the note of victory, when you prevail in the spirit and get the note of victory, you will know. Am I communicating? How will you know? That burden will be lifted that you are praying about. And then you will feel this lightness. And then before you know, songs of joy and thanksgiving, songs of praise and worship is what will start coming out. It will start bubbling in your spirit. It start welling up in your loins, and then you start singing because you've already gotten the victory. These are songs of victory. Am I communicating? It's a sign that you have prevailed. That was how Paul and Silas prayed. Some of you did not understand. Okay. Acts chapter 16, verse 25. Some of you, you know, this is how you saw it. Saul and Silas, they pray. They sang. Have you? The Holy Ghost came down. Is that not how we sing it? Sing it now. Paul and Silas, they pray. They sang. Holy. You understand? Now, in your mind, in the mind of many people, this is how you thought they did it. They prayed, Labagados, Labragada, Shalabagada. And said, do something new in my life. That is how many of you think. They prayed and then they sang. But that's not what they did. Should I tell you what they did? They first prayed and labored in prayer. Is this agonizomai? That was what they did, though. Eh? They prayed and persevered in prayer and prayed persistently until they prevailed in the spirit. They got the victory. Until they prevailed in the spirit and got the note of victory. And one of the proof that they've gotten the note, they started singing. That singing was a sign that they have prevailed. But before then, they had to labor in prayer. Oh, are you getting the point? And then, bah, the presence and power of God hit the prison. That was how Jacob prayed. Genesis 32:24. When Jacob was left alone, he wrestled. That wrestling there is agonizomai. It's a wrestling kind of prayer. He did that all night. He did a personal all night. Some of you are having a challenge attending corporate all night. Somebody did a personal all night. Have you done your own personal vigil in prayer before? I'm so excited. The prayer night of wonders. 30th, right? We are crossing over majestically into the second half of the year. Because snow is now quarterly. Every three months, that's when we do snow now. It's quarterly. We've done the first one was 31st March, right? To enter second quarter. Now we're entering the third quarter, right? Which is the second half of the year. That's why we're having snow. That year, prepare, plan. Not every night is for sleeping, or else you sleep away your destiny. And Jacob was left alone. Give me Genesis 32:24. He did a personal all night to flog it out with destiny. You see, this was after 20 pain and suffering. It was a career, in fact, the sole career of the blessing of Abraham, his grandfather. But He was not seeing it in his life. There was no manifestation. In fact, his life looked like the life of a cost man for 20 years until he decided to flog it out with destiny. He got tired. He got sick and tired of this life of struggle, of suffering, of pain and frustration. He said, no, things must change tonight. And Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man. And that man there is the angel of the Lord. With him until the breaking of the day. He didn't stop halfway. He prayed until he prevailed in the spirit. This is agonizomai. Ayagabarakataya. Are you getting me? This is a kind of prayer that births prophetic destinies, that births the will of God, that births the plans and purposes of God, that enforces the will of God. This is a kind of prayer that is going to help people grow spiritually. This is a kind of prayer that releases the grace and power for spiritual growth and maturity. This is a kind of prayer to engage in for revivals to break out. Hey, you think revival is all this your 5-10 minute prayer, 10, 50 that will bring revival? It's agonizomayo. This was how Evans Robert was praying for 13 years. It took 13 years before he prevailed in the spirit and got the note of victory. Depending on what you are praying about, it may take hours, or it may take days, it may even take months, it may take years before you get the note of victory and prevail, before you prevail in the spirit and get the note of victory. Are you getting me? It took Evans Robert 13 solid years of agonizomai. He was laboring fervently in intercession over the whole nation of Wales, praying for the move of God, for the outpouring of the Spirit. He will pray, bend us, bend us. It's not the English. And then he will groan in the Spirit. It's a groaning kind of prayer. He will groan with sighs and loud sounds. 30 years, and then the fire fell. What we call the Welsh revival. Revival broke out in Wales. All the entertainment, people were getting it in God's presence during the revival. Wales was supposed to host FIFA World Cup that year, but they had to change it. Another country collected it. That's the right to host. The people of Wales say they are not interested in football again. Why? They were getting all the entertainment in God's presence. That's why I made that statement. I said nothing is more entertaining than the manifest presence of God. The reason why God appears to look boring to this generation of youth is because there is no fire in church again. The manifest presence is lacking. So service is boring. Christianity looks boring. Why? No fire. Where revival fire fell in Wales, instead of people running to sport for entertainment, they were getting everything in the house of God, in the presence of God during the revival. They say, we are not interested in FIFA World Cup again. So they had to shift FIFA World Cup to another country because of general lack of interest from the people of Wales. Are you listening? Police stations were empty because there were no criminals. The revival was not just in church. The presence and power of the Spirit completely engulfed the whole nation of Wales. The whole nation of Wales was submerged in God's glory. Fire was burning everywhere. It affected society positively. Judges and magistrates in court, there was no work for them, including clerk. Why? Because there were no criminal cases. Everybody was morally upright. Red light district, prostitution joints were empty. No clients and no customers. And nobody to patronize them. No even prostitute to carry. These were the effects of the spillage of that revival. It transformed society. Am I communicating? Even horses had to be retrained because they used to use curse words, foul language, to make them move and to make them stop, you know, to control horses. They will speak a foul language, use curse words to make them move and to make them stop. But when the revival fire fell, people could not speak those words again. They couldn't use foul language on horses. They couldn't use those curse words. So they had to retrain the horses with new words that are not foul in nature. Wholesome words, edifying words. Because there was a mighty outpouring. It's agonizomayo. You want to see the move of God in your family, in your city, in your nation. It's not 5-10 minute prayer. It's agonizomai. You have to labor in prayer until you prevail in the spirit. Now somebody say, in your mind you may be wondering, why did God take God 13 years to answer that prayer? No, it did not take God 13 years to answer the prayer of Evans Robert for that revival to break out in Wales. Rather, it took 13 years for Evans Robert to prevail in the spirit. It took 13 years for him to prevail over the demonic forces holding the nations of Wales in captivity. It took 13 years for him to break those demonic power, to break their hold over the lives of the people. It took 13 years for him to prevail over the flesh. Because in a place of prayer, when we say power to prevail, even over your flesh, do you know your flesh does not like prayer? Are you aware? Your flesh does not like prayer. You will have to retrain your body to like prayer. You will have to break it like they break a horse. For you to like prayer, you have to retrain it. If not, naturally speaking, your flesh does not like prayer. There are many people that are supposed to be here, some people that are supposed to be here today, but they ended up not coming. You know why? They listen to their flesh. Just the thought of festival of fire, their flesh will recoil from it, will shrink from it, and do everything to stop them. They would rather sit down, just relax in front of TV, just be changing channel, African Magic, this one, you understand? That Z World, the Telemundo, you understand? Football, SS, what all those sport channels, you understand? That's what the flesh likes. The flesh likes comfort. The flesh likes sleep. The flesh likes sex. And above all, the flesh likes food. Food is the number one thing the flesh likes. But prayer, Nehi, you know Nehi? No, in India. The flesh does not like that one. So you have to drag your flesh. See, when it comes to prayer, never listen to your flesh. If you listen to your flesh, you will never pray. You will never come for prayer meeting. Drag it like this. You know the way you drag? Follow. Drag. You must follow. You must come. You understand? That is how you drag your flesh to the place of prayer. Because it will never support you. It will never. Oh? Do you think your flesh or Satan will tell you to pray or to come for prayer meeting or festival of fire? Never. In case you don't know the voice of God, let me give you a shortcut. Any voice telling you to pray is the voice of God. Or any voice that say come for service, come for festival of fire, come for, you understand, is the voice of God. The flesh will never tell you to do that. Doesn't like it. Especially all these lengthy prayers, your flesh will tell you, if this prayer not just 1-2 hours, if it makes sense, make it go. This one, I'm morning to evening. You think I'm now. And you two say, not true. I think I'm. See, you're already losing grounds. Then after you don't finish think camp, your flesh will now give you plenty other things you are supposed to do today instead of coming here. Remember that your friend John Bosco, that money will promise you, you know, saying that today is supposed to come, which is not true. I go for this festival of fire now, John Bosco come, he no meet me. No say na money matter. He go just chop my money. I no go again. Your flesh has won. The devil and your flesh will give you reason why you should not come. But you will have to let your spirit rise up and let it dominate your flesh, dominate your body. That is how the government of the total man is designed by God to be. Your spirit should be in charge. If you don't pray, your spirit will be so weak and it will end up being dominated by your body and your flesh. But if you pray, you strengthen your spirit so that it can rule and govern and dominate your flesh and your body. So anytime your flesh wants to do wrong thing, your spirit will say, no, don't do that. Stop, don't do that. And then it overpowers your flesh and makes you do the right thing. But that's when your spirit is strong, and it is in the place of prayer that you empower your spirit. You strengthen your spirit. Prayer strengthens your spirit, especially this kind of prayer for long hours. Agonizomai, it strengthens your spirit. It fortifies your spirit, so your spirit becomes strong and vibrant. And it can now rule your body, it can rule your flesh, it can rule your mind, it can rule your soul, it can rule your emotion, so that you don't do the wrong things, so that you do things in line with God's will. Why do many Christians fall to temptation? Small temptation, they fall. They can't resist temptation. Why? Because resisting temptation requires energy, requires strength. And once their spirit, because their spirit man is weak, that's why they cannot resist temptation. It takes a strong spirit to resist temptation. It takes a strong spirit to resist temptation. And prayer will strengthen your spirit. You remember when Jesus took Peter, James, and John to the Garden of Gethsemane just before he was arrested? He then left them and went a stone's throw and knelt down and started praying. Before he left them, he said, pray, watch and pray, that you what? Fall not into temptation. Why did Jesus make that statement? Because he saw temptation coming. He now said, okay, the only way these people will not fall to this temptation is when their spirit is strong. And the way to build a strong spirit, to generate spiritual strength to withstand temptation and in the evil day to triumph, is investing in prayer. That's why I say they should pray. If they had prayed, they would have strengthened their spirit. Their spirit man would have been strong and vibrant, and they would have resisted. And that included Peter. You now see why Peter fell when temptation later came. He denied Jesus 3 times. He was even cursing and swearing. A 13-year-old girl looked at him. He said, you are one of those Jesus' disciples. I know you are. You look like himself. He said, I don't know him from Adam. I swear. He started cursing and swearing. Jesus saw that temptation coming. He saw it. Of him denying him 3 times. That's why he said, pray. But Jesus came 3 times. He met them asleep. Their eyes were full of sleep. They couldn't pray. Why did they sleep? Remember, I say one of the things the flesh like is sleep. They slept because their flesh dominated them. Their flesh dominated their spirit. What the flesh wanted was sleep. How come Jesus did not sleep? If he was able to pray, but them, they were sleeping. Why? Because his spirit man dominated his flesh. Are you listening? Don't be distracted. Glory to God. Prayer will fortify your spirit against the evil day of temptation. Prayer will strengthen your spirit so that you can say no to temptation, so that you can resist it. You will have enough energy to resist and overcome every temptation. Jesus said, the flesh, the The flesh is willing. How did he put it? The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. But who ended up winning? Weak flesh. It's not enough to have a willing spirit. Your spirit must also be strong. Now watch this. Their spirit was willing to pray, but they still ended up not praying. Has it not happened to you before? your spirit wants to pray. You want to pray, but you lack the power. You lack the energy. Your spirit man is weak. So it ends up being dominated by your flesh. And then you didn't pray. It says the spirit is willing, but that willing spirit is not enough. It must be strengthened by spiritual energy in the place of prayer. You see that? So that it can dominate and control the body and the flesh. Praise God. After 1 hour, Jesus will come and check on them. He said, you are sleeping. Yeah, not sleeping. Some of you say you want to pray 12 midnight. All this demonic force hindering my life and destiny and family. I will deal with you today. And you say, you start sleep. Shalabalabalaba, shalabalabala. You're on the bed. No, you were kneeling down before. You say, no, let me kneel down close to the bed. Shalabalabala. After 5 minutes, you doze off. And then it's in your dream that you saw yourself praying. You continue the prayer in the dream. And then after 1 hour, you woke up. Shalalala. Shalalala. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. Shalalala. See, let me tell you something. If you are feeling sleepy, the wrongest thing to do is to kneel down or to lie down or to even sit down or to lie on the bed. Never. That's the fastest way to sleep off. If you are feeling sleepy, should I tell you what to do? Be on your feet like this, pacing the floor. Shagabagada, labragada. Just be moving. Between the exercise, go like this, be pacing the floor. After a while, you may start mechanically. For some minutes, it will look like a struggle. Even the first 1 hour may be a struggle. But if you go beyond that 1 hour, you go enter. You will soon hit the cushion. Usually, the most difficult is the first 3 hours. If you want to do lengthy prayers, it's easy to pray 7 hours non-stop. But the most difficult part is that first 3 hours. If you survive the first 3 hours, you will get that 7 hours target. Because you will soon hit a gusher. Because you need that 3 hours to prevail over your flesh and break forth in the spirit. Are you getting me? Then, you continue supernaturally. God, by then you've tapped into the economy, mighty supply of the spirit of prayer. It's easy to flow. And even among that first 3 hours, the most difficult of the three is the first 1 hour. It's the first 1 hour. If you survive that first 1 hour, the remaining 2 hours won't be as difficult as that first one. And then if you survive the 3 hours, you have entered. The rest will be an easy flow. Are you listening? I'm giving you wisdom. Never go close to your bed when you are feeling sleepy and you say you want to pray. Except you want to sleep. Be on your feet. Pray on your feet. It was in Jerry Savile's story. He said every time he wants to play, what happens to himself? He will sleep off. He will pull alarm, as in plan it, yet he will still sleep off. Then one day an idea came to him. Say, what's the solution to this thing? And then said, okay, he will be praying inside his bathtub. You know bathtub? He will pray inside that bathroom. And he will sit on the bathtub. He told himself, Jerry, if you sleep here, you will fall inside. So it's like sitting on a time bomb. So, and That was what he did. You know, sometimes you have to take desperate measures. They say, desperate this thing require what? Desperate measures. I know a man of God that prays 7 hours every week like that at a stretch during weekends. You know how he does it? He treks for 7 hours. And all through that trekking period, he's praying. He will trek, he will be moving around. Shala bakosopra kataka. He doesn't answer greeting, he doesn't greet anybody. Shala, I'm not talking to you, you're not talking to me. You understand? He's talking with God. Labako sefrekedi. So he can trek from here to Bukuru. His prayer for him. That's how he does it. So sit down and do your own calculation. Anyone will work for you. Do amo. Are you getting me? Do amo. If it means jogging in the morning. Shalabako sofrate lekosakabaga alabagada lepratas. Do it all. Any method work for you, Duam. I remember as a student, I used to be angry. Anytime I'm in school, my fire will be burning very high. The moment school go on break. It's happening to many of you here. The moment I travel home during break, my fire will start dropping. That thing was happening to me. I hated it. One day I then came up with a formula. So anytime I'm at home, there was one uncompleted building. I went and looked for it until I found it. It became my shrine, my prayer altar. So anytime I'm on break, every free time like that, that is where I used to go. I say, no, my prayer fire will not drop this time around. Because all these plenty activities at home, some of them will extinguish your fire. You will lose fire at the end of the day. So when you say you want to pray at home, your brother will go and hum one Davido song. Before you know, you say you want to pray. Baby, you pull over. Just vexation of spirit. Your spirit will just be vexed. And this your senior brother, you can't talk to him. Or you say you want to pray, right there? Amaka, you don't wash those plates. Go wash plates. You don't mop the floor. Have you cooked lunch? Oh, Moku go farm. So the distractions are many. So you must design a system of keeping your fire burning. Whatever you can do, do it all. That is scriptural. Are you listening? Very important. You learn to what? Agonizomai. Galatians 4:19. Shabalataya. Ambraskota. We'll soon pray. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. They were his converts. He had travailed before for them to be born again. He travailed before for them to be saved. And then now he's travailing again for Christ to be formed in them. That's spiritual growth and maturity. He's travailing just like Epaphras was laboring fervently in prayer for the church in Colossae to grow up spiritually, for them to stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. This Apostle Paul is traveling for his spiritual babes in the church for them to grow to maturity, for Christ to be formed in them. This is what to do with new converts. This is what to do with new members. This is what to do as an HOD, as a leader. You learn to travel until Christ is formed in your people. Are you listening? Give me an amplified. And this kind of prayer, traveling prayer, soul travel, is agonizomayo. Agonizomai, travailing prayer. It requires strenuous effort. So much spiritual energy is expended here. Listen. The highest dimension of spiritual energy is usually released when you are praying this kind of prayer. Even spiritual warfare is agonizomayo. Aya barakata. Spiritual warfare is not fellowship prayer that you do there. Oh, Holy Spirit, sweet Holy Spirit, I love you. That's not the type of prayer when it comes to spiritual warfare. It's agonizomai. It's agonizomai. Wrestling prayer. Is that not what Paul said? We wrestle. Does that look like fellowship prayer? It's a war. My little children, Galatians 4:19 Amplified, for whom I'm again suffering bed pangs. Yes, it's bed pangs. That soul travail is bed pangs. That's the pain, labor pain, literally. It means labor pain. Is experiencing labor pain like a woman in labor. The pain of childbirth, the pain of parturition. A woman about to give birth to a baby. That's the kind of prayer I'm talking. It's a betting prayer. You bet your prophetic destiny. You bet the will of God. You bet souls into the kingdom. You bet mature believers. You bet and enforce God's will, plans, purposes, and program in the earth realm through this kind of prayer. Is agonizomai. You strive in the spirit. You contend with the adversary because there is an enemy. Am I communicating? You fight. You labor fervently in the spirit. You expend and exert so much spiritual energy. I'm suffering again. Bed pangs until Christ is completely and permanently formed, molded within you. Are you listening? Kalebosa palata. Embrakata kabalaka digi brakata. Give me Isaiah 66. Isaiah 66 verse 8. Soul travail. Travailing prayer. Who had heard such a thing? Who had seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Shall a nation be born at once? Look at the answer. For as soon as Zion travail, this is travailing prayer. This is betting prayer. This is laboring fervently in prayer in order to bet something, to bet God's will. Bet a new dimension of you, a new version of you, to bet and enforce the will of God concerning your life, your family, your nation, your city, your community. It's bed pangs. You are experiencing labor pain. Are you getting me? As soon as Zion travail, she brought forth her children. So it's a betting kind of prayer. You bet your future. You bet your destiny, your prophetic destiny in God. You bet the destiny of your family, the prophetic destiny of your family, your community, your city, your nation through this kind of prayer. It's agonizomai. It's a fight, it's a struggle, it's a wrestling in the spirit. Because they are demonic oppositions. The kingdom of darkness, they are doing everything to stop it from coming to pass. Doing everything to frustrate it. So you must persevere, you must persist in prayer. You must keep insisting. Am I communicating? So through this kind of prayer, a nation can be born in one day. This was how Jesus bettered the church. Do you know when Jesus bettered the church? In the realm of the spirit. Should I tell you spiritually? Even though physically the church appeared to start on the day of Pentecost. But the day Jesus actually bettered the church in the realm of the spirit was in the Garden of Gethsemane. I'll soon show you. And to bet the church He needed to agonizomai. He needed to engage in this kind of prayer. He needed to travail in the spirit. It was, the Bible said, this is how the Bible put it, that blood mixed with sweat was coming out of his body. Great drops on the ground. That's to tell you that this is not Holy Spirit. I love you. Can you know the Holy Spirit more than Jesus? Can you love the Holy Spirit more than Jesus? Was it fellowship prayer he did there? It was agonizomai. Because listen, his destiny was at stake. That was where Jesus prayed and prevailed over his flesh, because his flesh didn't want him to go to the cross. You think now only you like good thing? His flesh shrank from separation from the Father because he's going to be made sin on the cross. That baptism of suffering, that him being made sin, that was what his flesh shrank from, because Jesus had never experienced that separation from his Father. Never. Separation from the Holy Spirit. He has never experienced that. His flesh didn't want it. So Jesus needed to pray in order to tame his flesh. So you generate the power to tame your flesh in the place of prayer. The reason why many Christians cannot control their flesh easily is because they are not prayerful enough. They are not generating firepower in the place of prayer. So you see them battle with all manner of struggles, temptation, and all of that. They can't control their flesh. But Jesus has shown us a secret to overpowering the flesh, to taming the flesh, which is prayer. Prayer will strengthen your spirit, build capacity, fortify your spirit to tame your flesh. That was why Jesus had to pray 3 times. He said, Father, let this cup pass away from me. God did not answer him. First time, he prayed again. Father, because that statement was coming from his flesh. Which cup? The cup of suffering. The cup of him being made sin. The cup of him going to the cross. Because if he doesn't go to the cross, how will God's salvation plan and redemption plan come to pass? It was not the will of God. That thing his flesh was saying, no. That wasn't God's will. So that was the only time God did not answer Jesus' prayer. That was the only time in the Bible. Because it was his flesh that was speaking. His flesh didn't want it. Separation from the Father, being made sin, suffering and all of that. His flesh said, no. That's why he said, Father, let this cup pass away from me. But that was not the Father's will. The Father's will is that he drinks the cup. He goes to the cross. He must be made sin so that we can become the righteousness of God in Christ. So he prayed the first time. He prayed the second time. By the third time, he had prevailed in the spirit. He had tamed his flesh. Then the whole thing changed. He said, Father, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And what was the Father's will? That him, for him to drink that cup and go to the cross. So he submitted. You see that he has tamed his flesh by spending quality time in prayer, such that he now submitted and surrendered to the will of the Father. You see that? And then he was ready to go. No wonder when they came to arrest him, what did he say? He said, whom do you seek? He was even the one that approached them. They came to arrest you. Normal human being, wouldn't they run and go and hide? But he was the one that approached them. He said, whom do you seek? He said, I'm Jesus. Power hit them. They fell to the ground. He said, okay. He finally said, oh yeah, I am he. Oh yeah, put sakata, put anchor. He was ready. He had already gotten the victory in the realm of the spirit. Are you listening? Very powerful. As soon as Zion traveled, Luke 22. Okay, let's start from 39. Let me show you something here. As he came out and went, and as he was to come to Mount of Olives, his disciples also followed him. Next verse. And when he was at the place, somebody said the place. Definitely the place. That the place is the Garden of Gethsemane. If you read John's account, John brought it out clearly. It's the Garden of Gethsemane. Okay? Jesus had a particular prayer spot, and it was close to Mount Olive. He said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. Next verse. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw. He knelt down and prayed. Oh, I love this. Can you know your future more than Jesus knew his? Eh? Talk to me now. Listen. This is how you materialize prophecy. This is how you enforce the will of God. This is how you secure your glorious destiny. Jesus knew the future, but he didn't stop him from praying. In fact, he knew that if he does not pray, God's plan and purposes for his life will not come to pass because of demonic opposition. Even his flesh will fight it. Are you seeing that? So he needed to travel in prayer until he prevailed over the flesh, prevailed over Satan, prevailed over the kingdom of darkness, prevailed over the world, prevailed over sin and all of that. He had to prevail over all these oppositions. Everything opposing the fulfillment of God's will, plans and purposes for his life. Are you listening? So God showing you the vision of your future should not excuse you from praying. In fact, that is even the more reason why you should pray, in order to bet it. And which kind of prayer? Somebody say agonizomai. It's travailing prayer. Bed banks. You contend in prayer. You strive in prayer. You fight in prayer. It's a struggle. It's a wrestling kind of prayer. Because you have an adversary, you have an enemy. Sometimes it's not just the devil, even your flesh is fighting it. You know the things you are supposed to do to fulfill your divine destiny and the will of God, but your flesh doesn't want you to do them. Is that not a fight? You have to fight. Next verse. He prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. If you read Matthew's account, he gives more details. Because he prayed three times. It was at least 3 hours there. Standard Jewish prayer is 1 hour. Next verse. And there, this is where I'm going. There appeared an angel from heaven strengthening him. You see, anytime you pray, just know that you are not alone. One of the things that activate the ministry of angels the most is prayer. Anywhere people always pray, there is a lot of heightened, multiplied angelic activity in that area. Any city where people pray a lot, there will be heightened and multiplied angelic activity in that territory, enforcing the will of God, betting the plans and purposes of God. But anywhere people don't pray, whether it's a family or the life of an individual or a city or a nation, that people don't pray, there will be paucity of angelic activities. Rather, there will be multiplied demonic activities, because demons thrive. They thrive in an atmosphere of prayerlessness where there is no fire. Darkness rules and prevails. Are you seeing that? An angel appeared unto him from heaven, strengthening, just like angels are strengthening some of you to pray in this place. Are you getting me? prayer activates angelic ministry. See, the more you pray, the more you encourage and activate angelic ministry in your favor. Do you know that as we are praying here, some of you, the tongues you are speaking, in your mind you think you are just speaking in tongues in festival of fire. Oh, maybe God should open your eyes one day to see the spiritual transaction that is taking place on your behalf. Some of you, these tongues you are speaking, you are actually giving instructions to angels to do this, to do that, to do this, to save this person, to deliver this person, to heal this person, to cause the monies to come to you, to cause... Do you understand? You are actually giving instructions. Now, those things wouldn't have happened if you had not prayed. So, prayer encourages the ministry of angels. There are different kinds of angels. There are angels, like, look at here, is the angel strengthening him. They are ministering spirits. You release them to minister for you. They are angels of favor. They are angels of healing. They are fire angels. They are angels of wisdom. They are angels of revelation. They are angels that enlighten your understanding. They are angels that empower you to pray with fire and vigor. They are money angels, financial angels. They are angels of blessings. They are angels of protection, preservation, safety, and security. Are you listening? They are angels of revival. There are different categories of angels. They are angels of salvation. They are angels of deliverance. When prayer was offered without ceasing by the church for Peter, when he was imprisoned by wicked Herod that had beheaded John, the Bible says, but prayer was offered without ceasing of the church for Peter. It was agonizomai. That intercession was agonizomai. Because the Bible says, without ceasing. We don't know for how many hours. They were contending with demonic forces. Because it's demons that move Herod to arrest Peter, planning to kill him. It was a contention. It was a wrestling with demonic powers. And then they finally prevailed in the spirit, and then deliverance came. Their prayers mobilized angels of deliverance to go and bring Peter out of that prison. When Paul and Silas prayed, Paul and Silas did not wait for people to intercede for them like Peter did. You must learn to pray for yourself. Because sometimes waiting for people to pray for you, you may die before the prayer. Some of them may even be busy with their own life. Maybe Holy Ghost is nudging them to intercede for you. That is when Satan will baptize them with one emergency that will distract them, so that they didn't even have the time to pray. So you may end up dying. So learn the skill of praying for yourself. Peter was interceded for by the church, but Paul and Silas say, "Oh boy, we may die before the church remembers to pray for us." They started their own prayer in the prison, and bam, deliverance came. Am I communicating? Go back to what we were reading, Luke 22. An angel appeared and strengthened Jesus. Then next verse. Imagine praying with supernatural strength coming from the angel and being in agony. Can you see? That's why I say it was agonizomai. Being in agony. It was supernatural praying. It was praying with divine energy, supernatural strength. Angels just strengthened him. Being in agony. The Greek word is agonia. Similar to this word, agonizomai. Being in agony, he prayed what? More earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. He came under intense mental, you see, medically speaking, this blood mixed with sweat, what we call hematohidrosis, okay? hematohidrosis, hemohidrosis, that's blood mixed with sweat. It can be explained medically. When somebody sometimes come under intense mental stress, it can make the capillaries to burst, and then blood, it will burst and then enter the sweat gland, and then blood and sweat will come out. That was what happened to Jesus. To tell you the enormous amount of pressure that he was under. To tell you the amount of energy he was generating in the realm of the spirit. It was an intense battle. It was a struggle, a wrestling kind of prayer. He prayed until he prevailed over his flesh, prevailed over Satan, prevailed over the demoniacal forces trying to stop God's will from coming to pass, trying to abort his prophetic destiny, and prevailed over sin and the world system. Are you getting me? He was in agony. This is the kind of prayer that secures your destiny. This is the kind of prayer that bets your prophetic destiny. This is the kind of prayer you pray to enforce the will of God concerning your life, concerning your family. Because the church is the divine accredited agent, God's divine accredited agent to enforce his will in the earth realm. We are the one to enforce the will of God. We are the enforcers of God's will. We bet his will in prayer. We enforce the will of God in prayer. Or else, the will of God may not find expression in the earth realm. Whether it's in your life or your family or a city or a community or a nation. Are you listening? It is through prayer we bet things. It is through prayer we enforce God's will. So you bet your prophetic destiny. You enforce your prophetic destiny on the altar of what? Prayer. We are looking at what? Agonizomai. Give me Colossians 2 verse 1. Colossians 2 verse 1. It says, "For I would that ye knew what great conflict." Now that conflict there is agonizomai. Give me a New Living Translation. You'll get it clearer. "What great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, for as many have not seen my face in the flesh." Give me NLT. "I want you to know how much I have agonized for you." Can it be clearer than this? So he was fighting spiritually. Listen, for the revival to break out in Ephesus, in Acts 19, that revival we read of in Ephesus, do you know that Paul engaged it? You see, he was teaching during the day, daily for 2 years in the school of one Tyrannus. He started with 12 disciples, that's males. We don't know how many females, because those days they don't usually count females. If you hear Bible mention the name of a woman, it's not Bible actually, it's Jewish culture. They don't usually consider women that much. If they mention their name, that means there's something special about that person. Okay? We said Paul laid hands on those 12 that received the Holy Ghost. There were 12 men. We were not told how many women. Now he started daily meeting with them in the school of one Tyrannus. And he continued for 2 years. But in the night, Paul was doing something. He said, "I fought with beasts at Ephesus." And it's in the book of Ephesians, he told us about the demonic hierarchy. It's in the book of Ephesians, he told us about spiritual warfare. In Ephesians 6:12, Paul told us what he did for the revival to break out in Ephesus. He said, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness in high places." He understood that the city of Ephesus was governed spiritually by those demonic powers. He needed to wrestle in prayer. He needed to engage in this kind of prayer, what we call agonizomai, for him to prevail in the spirit. He agonized in prayer until he got the victory. Am I communicating? And then there was a mighty outpouring, and then revival breakout in the city of Ephesus. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. This is how to win the battle over your family's destiny. This is how to win the battle over the prophetic destiny of our city, of our nation, of our community, of our families, that is being hotly contested by the enemy. You have to engage in agonizomai. You pray. The old timers used to call it push. Pray until something happens. Pray until you prevail in the spirit and get the note of victory. Jacob did all night for that to happen. Evans Robert did his own for 13 years for revival to break out in Wales. William J. Seymour did his own. Is it for 7.5 years? He prayed 5.5 hours for like 5 years. God said increase it by 2 hours. He now made it 7.5 hours for 7 years. Then Azusa Street revival broke out. And that revival went on to influence and affect over 600 million people. And today, Christianity, we talk about the Pentecostal move. That was where it started. Am I communicating? The charismatic move. Why? Because somebody decided to agonize in prayer. He decided to agonize in prayer. Am I communicating? This is the kind of prayer that begs revival. The kind of prayer that begs revival is this type. It's not that type that you come with prayer list. Number one, Father, give me school fees. Number two, give me Indomie. That's not the type, oh. That's not the type, oh. Malaga bagata kabrakata. Give me that scripture we're reading earlier. Give me, okay, watch this. Ephesians, 1 Corinthians 15 verse. He said, I fought with beast at Ephesus. Is it 34? Let me look for it. Okay, 32. 1 Corinthians 15, 32. He says, if after the manner of men, I have fought with beast at Ephesus. And mind you, this is not the first time or only time that the Bible uses that word beast. Let me show you another instance, then I'll come back here just to explain something there. Mark, you remember when Jesus prayed and fasted for 40 days? When he fasted, Mark chapter 1, let me show you that same word beast was mentioned, okay? Verse 13, Mark 1, 13. And he was there, talking about Jesus, he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted, what? Of Satan, right? And was with what? The wild beast. Let me ask you a question. Is he talking of wild animal, lion, chimpanzee, which one again? Cheetah, eh? Mention wild animals now. Is that what the Bible is talking about? The wild beast there is not a physical wild animal. It's talking of demonic powers, demoniac forces, demons. And the angels ministered unto him for him to overcome all of that. Now go back to 1 Corinthians 15:32. You will now understand when Paul said, I have fought with beast at Ephesus. So remove lion from your mind. It's not wild animal. It's talking of demonic forces. These are, Ephesus was a very wicked city, oh, and the wickedness is proudly sponsored by those principalities, those powers, those rulers of the darkness in that territory. Are you getting me? Paul needed to deal with them through which kind of prayer? Somebody say agonizomai. This is the kind of prayer that changed the spiritual climate over territories. This is the kind of prayer that birthed revivals, that birthed massive move of the spirit. This is the kind of prayer that releases the outpouring of the Holy Ghost over people, over territories. I fought with beasts at Ephesus. So in the daytime he will teach. In the night he will engage in warfare, spiritual warfare, agonizomai. And then he continued that for 2 years. And then, bam, revival break out. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed to the point that Ephesus had a school of magic. Hope you know. So a reporter is not only, you understand, he started longest time. Ephesus had a school of magic. You are in school to study. What course are you studying, man? History. Good. Do you know that was how people gain admission to study, for instance, wizardry and sorcery? in the school of magic, university of magic, with different specialty. That movie, A Reporter, is it not magic school they are in? So it was a similar thing. So magic is an art. It can be learned. Now, American got is it American Idol or so? American Got Talent. They have added magic. So magic now is part of the talent. You see somebody come up and be doing magical displays, and they will be clapping. Oh, they are surprised. Oh, in fact, one of the American Got Talent winner, I've forgotten which year, was a terrible demonized wizard. I was watching it. I watched that video. I saw the guy's eyes. You could see demons. If I see the eyes of somebody that is demonized, I know. I don't know how to explain this thing. By spiritual perception. I said, this guy is a house of demon. People don't know. So that thing that he's doing, he's being empowered by demons. He's being aided supernaturally by demons. Or people are clapping. Oh, what a talent, what a talent. I said, no problem. We two will go and do our own. Very soon, some of you will go and contest in that American Got Talent. You will use the power of God. And you will tell them that it's your talent too. If they accept that one as talent, you they must accept this one. You understand? Are you getting me? Yes. They are aided by demons. You is angels and the Holy Ghost. You go there with them. Are you getting the point? So Paul had to prevail in the spirit. They burnt their books. All the students in the school of magic, they got born again. They accepted Jesus. And they brought their expensive textbooks that they were using to study magic. Expensive books, so they did bonfire with it. Give me an amplified. They counted the price and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. That's not cheap. Expensive. Those magic book is more expensive than many of your textbooks that they say you should buy in school, the one you are using. Many of those who had practiced curious magical arts collected their books and throwing them book after book on the pile, burned them in the sight of everybody. When they counted the value, they found it what? Amounted to what? 50,000 pieces of silver. About what? 9,000. $300. How much is that if you are to convert Nigerian naira? Malabagada kabrakadaya. Iko pute kebelete. Can you rise to your feet? Can you rise to your feet? In 1-2 minutes, we are going to pray. Balatuze preketo. Agonizomai, ila kapora satai. You are going to pray. This is the kind of prayer that bets the will of God, that bets prophetic destiny, that brings forth revivals, that brings forth massive moves of the Spirit. Kalido Sefeletia, that shatters demonic oppression over territories, that decimates demonic devices. This is a kind of prayer that shatters satanic installation. Are you listening? We are going to pray. We are going to pray. Mande ke frote se peletino savranda kapalataya. I want you to lift up your voice. Just like the angel of the Lord appeared and strengthened Jesus. I'm telling you, as we pray, it's already happening, but it will happen on a higher level. You are going to lift up your voice.
We believe you're blessed by this message. Our goal is to raise a glory generation that will walk in kingdom dominion and manifest the word of God as a lifestyle. To download more messages by Dr. Lucas Agon King or to partner with us, please visit www.avalancheofglory.com. www.thegloryrest.org. Subscribe to our YouTube and Telegram channel. Also follow us on Facebook and Instagram at the Avalanche of Glory Ministries International. Call 080-6530-2610 or 070-3699-1158 for more information. We love and celebrate you.